Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, John.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. And our guest today is, I hope I pronounced your name correctly, Catherine Malik. Is that correct way of pronouncing it?
That is completely correct, Jonathan. And hello, Barbara.
Okay.
Hi. Why did you just
I was telling
Catherine Malik?
Barbara.
You know how to pronounce her name until this second? Hi.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there
a new friend
of yours, Catherine?
Hello.
Let's
tell us about our guest.
Okay. Well, this is Catherine Malik, and what she is here today to talk about is what makes an impasse an empath and how empaths work.
What's
now,
an empath?
Here,
there's a lot of people who don't even know what that
yeah.
is. Yeah,
okay,
I'd like
Catherine,
to know what that
an
is. So, but the proper, you know, definition of empath.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes, let her
right.
interject something and then we'll continue introducing her.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I'll jump in and, you know, I'm Catherine Malik, and you did pronounce it perfectly well, and it's so polite of you and so nice of you to check, because you never know. Sometimes we can say someone's name wrong. We've been saying it wrong before, so it's so kind of you to check and make sure. Appreciate that.
What is,
and
what do they say, Catherine? What would they say? Malik. That's a great name. What would they say if they said it wrong?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not too many people get it wrong. I mean, they might try to say Malik instead. It's close, yeah. Very close.
That would bug me.
So, but most people will just say Malik. Yeah. So
yeah,
usually it's they're pretty right on the money with it. So yeah. So yeah, as Jonathan was saying, I'm an international best-selling author. I'm a Reiki Second Master teacher. I'm a spiritual teacher and teacher and. My passion, my mission in life is to guide and teach empaths, because I myself am an empath, and I struggled and was challenged for years being an empath, not knowing what to do and not even knowing that I was an empath.
Did you know what it was?
I didn't really know there was a word for it. I knew something was up. Like, there was something up with me. I knew, like, you know, Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other. That's how I felt throughout my life. Like, something was up with me. I'm like, I'm not like everyone else. But I'm trying to be like everyone else. I'm trying to fit in. But there was something that I knew was different, the way I saw things, the way I felt things in the world. And so I didn't know. I didn't know for my life. I didn't know that I was an empath. It took me quite a bit of time to find the word empath and figure out that, oh my goodness, that's what I am. That explains everything. So as I say that, I will let everyone know an empath is someone who senses and feels deeply. A very simple definition.
Oh.
I will expand, of course, but someone
that's
who
nice.
Senses and feels deeply. Someone who walks through the world very sensitive. That's just a very
well,
it
can be hard. Mm-hmm. That's hard. That's very tough. I mean, it can make you just not even want to walk through life almost, because everything hurts. Or, I mean, maybe not. Maybe everything's great.
Well, actually, it is quite like what you're saying, Barbara. It's about everything can hurt, meaning that because as empaths, we and HSP, which is highly sensitive people, we feel and sense so deeply, there is a lot of emotional pain because we feel deeply as we walk through the world. And when we come in contact with people who are maybe sad or hurting from something, we feel just as sad or as deep pain as they do. Like we feel just what they're feeling. We're able to sense right in and we feel that. And so it's a very tricky life. It's a very challenging life because we take everything in at such a deep level. And and it's wonderful on one aspect to really have those senses, it can be challenging and troubling for a lot of empaths.
But would you describe this as a blessing or a, would you describe it as a quality of a person? I mean, there's a lot of people walking around. Well, you're just describing empathy. Well, a lot of people are empathetic. They show empathy. And you hope you get one of those when they're, you know, fighting for you in some way. But is this a blessing or is this like a quality of a person or is this like above, like just having a great quality? I find it to be very a very positive thing, obviously, because you're feeling, I mean, that's real life, right? When you can feel and enjoy things, you know, at the slightest sensation. I would imagine that's the what you would want to be. But then you're going to tell us about the other side of it, which I find very interesting, too. But I think there's a lot of people out there who, I don't know why I'm sad all the time. But they're not waking up. And they're not smelling the coffee, you know what I mean? They're like, okay, well, I feel this way. Yeah, so that, therefore, it's got to be bad. So this is a very, very intricate subject, actually.
Yeah, it is because, you know, it's often talked about, is it a gift or is it a curse? And, you know, when you speak to people who are empathic, many will say it's a curse. But there's quite a few now that will actually stand up and say it's a gift. For me personally, it's a gift. It's I call these are my abilities. I have some extra abilities here that I like to use because they're very helpful in life. And I think when one has these gifts, these abilities, and they don't know, and they're constantly being bombarded and drained of their energy and feeling exhausted and then maybe falling into a bit more of a victim lifestyle, then they can feel like it's a curse, right? If you haven't met others that are just like you, your tribe, to understand your gift, and there is, you know, some responsibility with this gift too. There is some work to be done. There's some healing to be done.
Oh, because it goes hand in hand with the healing qualities come along with it. I mean, I can imagine, but are some people just, I'm feeling empathy. Well, or there must be more. There must be like an empath is more than just a person feeling empathy. Because we all, I mean, maybe there's a small 1%, you know, serial killer that doesn't feel it, but it's a human quality. So, but we're talking about something besides just showing this and really feeling it when you show it. We're talking about something way deeper, right?
Absolutely. This is way deeper than just empathy. Most people, as you're saying, can display, can feel, can have empathy. But only 1 to 2% of the population experience this deeper level of sensitivity. The ability to feel and to absorb the emotions around them. So it's quite different than that. It's different than just on the level of I can feel for someone else. Empaths, they're different. It's a whole different thing.
Wow.
I mean, there's some definite traits. There's some definite traits and signs for people who are empathic. You know, people who are empathic or highly sensitive, known as an HSP, do not like crowds of people, loud noises. Like it's too overwhelming for them. So that's
true for you.
It is. I growing up and even as a young adult, I'd often find my way out of situations, invitations to go to places where there's going to be crowds or lots of people. One of the telltales too is shopping malls, like big, huge shopping malls. My friends know this about me. That's a no. I do not want to go to a shopping mall. That is like,
why?
Like
because you didn't hear?
Me.
Can you hear their thoughts? Is it driving you crazy or you know how they feel
it's
shopping? It is an anxiety level that you get when you do shop.
Well, it's the energy, right? It's the vibrations of the energy. So going into a mall that's like a humongous mall and people are walking around and yet people are spending money and there's different emotions, different things going on.
Right.
The energy of that, you can like, it's just
or,
too much. It's,
or that the daughter is shopping with a mom and she's just mad because nothing's working and the mom's all worried because she just wants the daughter to be happy. And I mean, there's a million scenarios that go along with that. I can see why the shopping mall would be the most anxious anxiety level.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't
no,
think I don't know why people go to the mall
like
to hang out. Why? Oh, because it gives them like a rush, probably the teenagers. It gives them a rush. It's the energy. Wow.
A hospital would be
the energy.
Another
wow.
place, wouldn't you think? Hospital?
Oh, sure.
What, John?
Oh, hospitals, absolutely. Like,
Yeah,
that's not a favorite of mine as well.
No.
Definitely not. But yet there are some people who are empaths that do a lot of nurses. A lot of nurses are empaths. And, you know, I've met quite a few of them who are just like, they're exhausted. Like they're just drained of their energy. They said, I've been a nurse most of my life. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how'd you do it? Because, you know, I do have other friends who have worked in nursing who are not empaths and they're more stoic. It's like it's the job and you can get things done, keep your head down, you know, it's okay.
Right.
But an empath, that's not how they are. It's very difficult, and especially if they haven't worked with their gift, they haven't taught about their gift to know to separate between someone else and themselves. So instead, they're just like a walking sponge, and they're picking up everyone's emotions, everyone's energy.
A nurse in COVID? Oh, my gosh. Because you would see some would be stoic, like you say, strong in the interviews, and there would be some that were just like, falling apart. I mean, it was just rocking them to the core.
It's funny because I feel like this is the sort of question that would be on Family Feud, but another place that would have a lot of emotions on it is probably a courtroom. And I see
the board
dinging.
Yeah, a courtroom. Absolutely, a court.
I don't even know what
full.
He said. What was he saying?
He said a court.
What I said is it feels like I'm on Family Feud. Oh. We're naming places that have a lot of emotions. The board turns on.
A game show.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
But some people do hang out at like playgrounds because they just like to watch the children play. They're not weirdos, but it's all positive energy. It makes sense.
Yes. Well, it's interesting that you bring up children and playgrounds because empaths, that's another thing, another quality of theirs is that children and animals love empaths and we love them because children have pure, clean, loving, heart open energy and they can feel it in us too. I mean, children, the parents will wonder because, you know, the child's waving away and, like, doesn't want to leave. I was walking the other day in my neighborhood, and there was a little girl, and she was crying. She was hanging onto her mom's hand. She might have been all of 4 or 5 years old, and she didn't want to leave or something. I'm not sure what the scenario, but she was upset. And then she turned around and let go of her mom's hand, and she came running over to me. It was just interesting, like, why, you know, why me of all people, like, it, but, like, I know why, because she liked my energy, and she just was curious, and she had to come over to me. So it's like that way with
animals.
Like
a magnet. It was actually a physical magnet.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
I love that. That's amazing.
You said you love animals.
Beautiful.
What about the zoo?
Sorry? You're pulling out that Family Feud, the topics and the different things. I love it. Good for you, Jonathan. The zoo is interesting because I'm an empath. I have a hard time with the zoo. And I can remember my totem animal is giraffe, or it was, for quite a while. And so I remember going and hanging out at the giraffe area for quite a while at my local zoo. And I saw the mother giraffe and she was pacing and she was upset. And so finally I saw a woman who came up and she happened to be the person that was the caretaker for the giraffes. And I spoke to her and I said, listen, I don't want to sound really strange here, but this giraffe's really upset. She's like anxious. She's upset. She's really sad. What's wrong? And they go, oh, well, we just shipped her baby off to another zoo. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Of course, of course. She's really, like, that's why she's pacing. And, I mean, I could feel
terrible.
Her. And,
they should never do that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to put my two cents in. Oh, my God. That breaks my heart.
It broke my heart. It broke my heart because, it's a hard situation, you know, with zoos because, yes, the education of it, everything. And it's not like they can toss the animals back into the wild right now. Some of them have been domesticated and they're not having to forage for food and they're being cared for. But hopefully one day, in my heart, I hope there's no more of the zoos because I don't like seeing animals out of their natural environment. I mean, of course, you know, the education part is lovely, but just in that situation, you know, when I'm standing around different cages or visiting, and I haven't been to a zoo in years, it's hard on my heart. But
yes.
I could feel them. I could sense into the animals and know sort of what they were feeling. If they're, you know, and there's some that, of course, were perfectly happy. It's
fine,
but. Yeah,
I hope like
that
the birds, since I have two of them in a cage here in my living room.
Well, let me ask you this: do you pick up different emotions from different animals? Like, for example, let's say
maybe she
could
pick up my
good
question, Johnny. Johnny, I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, sorry.
Good question.
Sorry.
Can you pick?
It's okay. It's
no,
okay.
I mean
on.
No.
Go
I
on.
Had to interrupt you because that's a good question, Catherine. Can you pick up if my birds? Okay, they have two different brains. One's different than the other. Personality-wise, big time, okay? Can you, I'll take you over to the birdcage. Can you pick up if they are content or want to be free? Okay, over here. Hi, Birdie. Hi, Birdie. Okay, you're feeling them?
A little bit. It's better when I'm right there with them, but because then I can look and I can sense and really, you know, pick up on their energies. Is one of them a little more on the hyper side? Is one of them more excitable?
Oh gosh!
Yeah, one seems peaceful and one seems more excitable. One seems more excitable and the other one seems more peaceful. I don't get a sense of angst of like, you know, the cage or anything. I'm getting that one seems more calm and the other one seems more. I don't want to say anxious, but excitable.
Just wants to run like the whole thing. Like it has to be the boss. It can't let the other one see. I turn on Alexa. I think Alexa play bird music, and that's the only thing that like. Mm-hmm. Well, they get revved up when I talk sometimes, and they start speaking because I thought if you heard them talk, there's Whitey. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an albino, and it's a. I know it's a girl, and she's big, and she's. Okay, I don't know if she was abused in the bird cage because she was the only white one and everybody wanted to touch it and look at it and catch that one. But I'm thinking probably was the case. But I, of course, have to go and get the different kind of parakeet, Bungee, and I got that one. And then I felt so bad. It was just there in the cage alone. I said, this is just not the way nature is supposed to be. The next day, my daughter and I went to a different pet store. We just chose this one that I love, this green with the pretty, and then that turned out to be a boy. Well, this boss lady runs that boy, but they still love each other. I mean, they kiss each other, you know, clean each other, but yet she's running around, won't let him have the treat first, all that stuff. I mean, it's called bird watching. I do it now.
They're so incredible. Birds are so incredible, but, you know, yeah, I don't get that sense. I don't get the sense that they're upset or that they're being held back or anything. They seem quite content. I get a sense like they feel content where they are, and just the different personalities, you know? They're just very different. I see one's more calm, more quiet, the other one more excitable.
Yeah. It's exactly what you're describing. So that makes me feel good.
Mm.
But here's the thing, to get into it from those two examples with the giraffe and the birds, okay? You've got a bigger brain in an animal and then a tiny, tiny, well, I mean, they call it a bird brain, but I find that they're smart. So how do we as humans really, you know, figure it out? Like, okay, these are not happy in captivity. These are just fine. Like, but we can never really think like they're thinking, you know? I mean, so, yes, I see that when you go to a zoo, you'd be, like, torn apart, you know, like, even to hear one negative thought in an animal's brain is enough to never want to go back to a zoo. It's so sad, especially the water, Sea World thing. I will never go there, those whales. But who's to say that it hurts more the whale than the giraffe to have the baby torn away? Who says? You know, how do we know?
No, we don't. We don't. Well, unless some people who can sense into animals and can say, you know, oh, they're upset, they're mourning, they're, you know, that's a difficult one as well. I mean, you know, I look at it this way. As human beings, we don't know what we don't know. And so, you know, back in the time when there was zoos, it became this exciting thing, I'm sure. And then over the years, it's, you know, we're becoming more cognizant of what we're doing in the world, how we're behaving, and what effect that has. And so more and more, you know, we're starting to understand that, oh, perhaps maybe this isn't such a good idea. I feel like, especially in the last year, the world's cracking open. We're learning.
I mean, it's been crazy,
you know,
what
we
need to do.
I have an example of an impasse that might seem to kind of fall in line with this. There was this lady, and I tried to get her on the show about a few years ago, and I know that you're going to probably think this is strange, but maybe not when you start to think about it from her perspective, because it kind of falls in line with yours. This is a lady who is a professional mermaid, and what she does is she wears a tail, and she gets in the water, and she swims. And I think the thing is that when I talk to her on the phone, she kind of shares a lot of the, you know, same views that you do about, like, SeaWorld and other that. And to her, I mean, I know this is kind of strange, but she sees it as the water as her home, you know. I know. It's interesting. I'm trying to get her on. I'm going to try getting her on.
Well, that's going to be too hard. I'm sure she will want to. I mean, you have to realize that people are reinventing themselves because they have to make it and they have to make money. Let's find out, is she a real mermaid, Johnny, or is this like a kind of a front?
No, this is sort of like something she does to connect with the ocean. You know, she knows that she's not really, really a mermaid. It's just that she does it to kind of sort of a connect, if that makes any sense. But I think that you understand it, Catherine, because in a way, it sort of makes her feel like she's more empathetic when she's in that tail, where she's wearing the tail and she's in the water. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. When you're saying this to me, I get the sense that, like, she feels she belongs. When she's in the water, she feels home. That feels more home to her than being walking around in, you know, in a city or whatever it is. You know,
right.
Of course, you'll find out when you have her on as a guest to see her perspective from it. But just from what you've said, it sounds like that's where she feels and senses into. She's probably empathic and probably, you know, maybe an animal or, you know, ocean empath type. And, yeah, it just sounds like that's where she feels and senses deeply, and this is where she feels she belongs.
Yeah, it's.
But time will tell.
Kind of
when
like,
you have her on, you'll ask her.
Yeah, but I think that in a way it is kind of a form of empathy to stay on topic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably where she feels compatible with the SeaWorld. She has a sense, she feels a sense of belonging there and a sense of maybe to protect as well, you know?
Yeah,
but
no, she could have seen it a lot in a dream. I mean, because the dreams that come to you when you're in clear blue water with swimming off a fish, I have that dream. I'm flying. When you have those a lot, that means that you were living there in your past life. That's what they tell me. I have those dreams.
That's interesting.
They're wonderful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And she's just living her dream, maybe. I don't know. That should be interesting. Will be interesting to find out about this.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed
mermaid. To hear more.
Yeah.
That sounds so beautiful, too. Sounds beautiful.
I love that mermaid
tale.
I mean, and all the movies that have derived from it, it's just such a mystical, it's like a positive, it's magical. Like flying on the carpet, I think. I love the one with Daryl Hannah. and
oh.
It was called, what was Splash? It's called Splash.
It's called Splash.
Mm-hmm.
What a great film.
That was, I mean, was that's what I imagine, that they're, you know, mm-hmm. they really have them. And did you love Aquaman, that movie, Aquaman?
I actually haven't seen Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
Me neither.
Jason Momoa, oh, my God, he's my new favorite. Whew.
Okay.
Wow. Anyway, you'll love it. Johnny, just to clarify, I know that mermaids are not real. I thought you would laugh at my joke, but you're like,
no, I heard what you, I understand.
Barbara, you understand, Catherine. Mermaids really aren't mm-hmm. real. That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, I get it. So we'll be having her on in the future. I'm sure it won't be that hard. So let's get back to Catherine. And this is a perfect time to talk about where we can find you and your best-selling book and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, great. So finding me online, I mean, that seems to be the way these days with everyone in the world. We all live online now. And so definitely my website, you know, www.catherinemalik.com, as well as I have a Facebook group, and it's called Empath Soul Mastery. For empaths, of course, in HSPs, and it's a really nice safe haven for souls to learn about their abilities, their gifts, and to be amongst others who are just like them. It's amazing what happens when you meet other people that are just like you, you know, when you've been in a world where no one else seemed like they were like you and you felt like you didn't belong. So it's pretty incredible.
Before you, and, I want to have you list off a few of these traits, because I find it very interesting. But before you do that, could you just name up your group really quickly again so people have a chance to write that down?
Sure. Yeah. On Facebook, it's called Empath Soul Mastery. And it's also, if someone's on my website, there's a link right there that'll take you to the group. So Empath Soul Mastery. Oh, and I know you mentioned about the book as well. The book is called The Untethered Woman, and it's on Amazon, The Untethered Woman.
Untethered. Ooh, I like that word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a lot to talk about. What was that? I'm sorry.
That's one of my favorite words, too.
Wow.
I love the word
untethered. Mm-hmm. It sounds good. It rolls off the tongue so nicely, but mm-hmm. then it makes people think, I know what that means, but I better check just in case, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, this book is the compilation of women's stories of when they sort of hit maybe, you know, the bottom or the hardest thing in their life, and how they've gone from maybe something that could have gone into victim land into like to surviving and thriving. It's all sorts of women and what they've faced in their lives, and just showing you how they have turned that around, how they've healed and gone on to, you know, wear their crowns and march proudly. So it's an incredible, incredible compilation of women's stories. And I share a story in there about narcissistic abuse. And that is something that I help a lot of empaths with, help them heal from that, as I went through that myself. And so I know the steps. I know what it is. I know the journey, and I know the pain and how difficult it is, too. So,
okay, so you were saying earlier, I just want to point out something that kind of clicked here. Okay, because when you're talking about yourself and what an empath is, I just thought of somebody in my family, I'm not going to say who, but that they were this, they are this, and they went through so much because of it. And they need to be there. You know, how do you know? Okay, because you said that there is work to do. I mean, you have a gift. You need to share it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But how do they know if maybe staying with their husband, who is narcissistically domineering and hurting them, basically, by a lot of little things that add up. And those 30 years were not easy. How do they know, okay, this is not my role and my job as an empath to stay with this person, to support this person, because I made the vow and I have a piece of paper here. Or how do they know, like, get out of that and go you could do so much more for many more people.
Well,
how did they know?
Yeah, they don't. That is the hardest thing. It's very hard because if a narcissist, is married to an empath, so empaths generally, most people in the world, it's only been coming to light in the last, maybe 10, 15 years. And even before that, it was not that long ago that therapists and psychiatrists were discussing the term narcissistic personality disorder. So many people have been in marriages for 20, 30 years who are getting out now. The thing about empaths, if we look at some of the traits of them, they're very loyal. They're very loving, very forgiving. They like to see the good. They feel the need to help rescue and save others. They feel that the reason they're here, it's like we feel programmed inside that we've got to help everyone. It's almost like if someone comes up to you and you're an empath and they have a problem or something that needs to be solved, immediately it becomes your problem. Like you feel responsible for them. And that's kind of like, it's like this little bell goes off inside of an empath. For most, this is what they feel. So when I say there's work to do, empaths are also, another name for an empath is wounded healer. Because while we have great light around us, this great energy, and we have this ability, people feel so much better after they come and talk to us. I mean, there's reasons for that one too, but feel better around us. And the sad part underneath it all is that the empath themselves is missing out on someone really, really important that needs their help, and that is themselves. They're so busy helping everyone else that they're ignoring their own wounds.
Right. Like you took a step. You became a person who uses this blessing to the benefit of yourself and others, but to yourself first, because you know, if you don't take care of yourself, how can you be there for so many others? You cannot be. You can't even do your own thing. How could you be there for others?
Right.
But they don't. They're so strong that they stay with that abuser for so long because they can't leave them.
Well,
they're too empathetic.
They can't because, well, they can't. They feel for them. There's also trauma bonding and Stockholm syndrome. Like, there's so many reasons. Just like an abuser, right? It's very difficult.
No,
and then, as an empath, your energy is drained. Like, they're so exhausted. Like, people wonder, and it's like, you're exhausted. You have trauma bonding. Like, it's very difficult.
It's a big part.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. It says here that you are a Ken Rocky master teacher. What exactly is that?
Yes. So energy healing. So not only do I do energy healing for others, I do this like in person. I also do distance healing. So that's, they don't have to be in the same room. I can send it to another place in the world where they are. And I also teach people energy healing so that they themselves can do energy healing. And
like
so there's
chakras?
Two different styles there that you're reading about. Pardon me?
Like chakras?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, we're working on the chakras, so balancing the chakras, but also just running energy through the body. Maybe I can explain it a little bit better. So energy healing is when we think about if you've ever had acupuncture and sort of the premise of how that works, sort of unblocking energy in the body, and that's not really even the correct way of saying it, but it's the best way to explain it just so we visualize it. That with acupuncture, they put the needles in. So it's like helping the chi flow, helping the energy open up. There's like stagnant areas of energy. And just like that, I like to say it's like I'm working in the same way without the needles. And so my hands are generally, if someone's with me, they're hovering above or very light touching the person, be in another room in another country, and I'm sending the energy over to them. And it's really to help the energy flow, to help the chakras, balance them, help them moving.
Yeah.
It can be used for so many different things, for emotional,
that
for physical ailments.
Catherine, with the hands, you were talking about the physical, little slight physical hand hovering. I mean, this is what people do when they go worship to Jesus at church or whatever they're worshiping to, Buddha, whatever their religion. They put their hands up. They put their hands out. They extend their hands. It's called gratefulness. Why wouldn't you put your mm-hmm. hands on the subject? Why wouldn't you hover the hands? This is a powerful tool. Why, if people ask mm-hmm. like questioned you about this technique?
Have people question me as far as like they want
why
to learn
did, okay,
it?
Why?
Or?
How did this come about? Where you just hover? You don't like actually massage the person, but you just like hover. I mean, there must have been a lot of questions about the energy, like how that works. People don't know.
Some people do and some people don't. And some people, when they first come to me, are maybe a little timid about it because it's like, ooh, what's she going to do? Is she going to turn me into a frog or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you've never experienced it, you're like, what is this? And definitely my hands are, like, when I say hovering, because it's a choice, like some people don't want to be touched. And so I'm hovering just like, you know, half an inch above them. All certain parts of the body, I do not want to put my hands. That's encroaching on their privacy. So, you know, right. And you know, and there's some areas that are sensitive, like, you know, the throat area. I tend to hover when I'm around someone's throat because, yeah. you know, putting my hand around their throat, it still might feel good energetically. I just sometimes feel that's a little bit too intense.
Well, it might trigger their PTSD. Maybe somebody had tried to
could.
Do that to them in a violent way, and it does. Even a massage in
it
a
could,
certain
yeah.
spot, somebody rubbed, and they're like, you know, it changes the whole
yeah.
thing. You're very
mm-hmm.
smart to
yeah.
do the, all of that. Yeah.
I sense into it. And I also ask, of course, I'm always asking and making sure, you know, if light touch is okay. I mean, definitely when I'm working and I'm in the area of someone's feet, unless they've like said, don't touch my feet, then my hands are on their feet. So it just depends. You know, I do a combination of hovering and combination of light touch, but also being cognizant if the person is comfortable with it and what they've shared with me.
Oh, you know what would be so great, Catherine, is if people could actually mm-hmm. see you demonstrate this. You don't, I mean, you can have a person come over to where you are, but we do this thing called Blue Jeans. It's like a Zoom platform. Live
oh, okay.
Thing.
And by the way,
yeah,
I should say something. I should say something.
What?
I should say something. I did not tell Barbara to bring this up.
Oh.
I did not tell Barbara to bring this up.
Jonathan and I talked about Blue Jeans. He mentioned it to me earlier, and I said, I had to ask. He goes, I'd have to ask Barbara, though, first. I said, of course, of course.
I did not tell you to bring that up. This is amazing. I mean, it's like she said, I promised you. And then she said, well, you know, one thing would be great if we could see you. And I'm like thinking to myself, oh, my God. I mean, me and Barbara
wow.
are a celebrity.
Donnie.
Barbara, earlier I was talking to
You're
her.
You're very smart. And, I mean, you can tell when you need to see something or not. And also, Johnny, but he's so sweet. He doesn't want to say anything until he first came here. I blurted out on air. Do you want to do it?
Perfect.
And so I
Absolutely.
Should have gone with my protocol, too, which would be asking Johnny first. But somehow I just knew he
so it's
would
okay.
absolutely love the idea, which he already thought about, and you've already okay. talked about. That's amazing. So when can
it
we
is.
Have you demonstrate this? Maybe tomorrow.
Absolutely.
What? Yeah.
Let's see. Can I do it tomorrow? Well, let's see tomorrow.
Johnny, what's tomorrow?
Things?
Johnny,
what?
What's tomorrow?
Now,
Tuesday? Yeah, we have that open.
Well, tomorrow is Tuesday. Let me look at the schedule. Give me 1 second here.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, me getting a person I can do this with, that could be interesting. I'm in a place where we're kind of not. We're just
okay,
coming,
we don't have anything
we're just
tomorrow.
Coming, we're just coming
put
out
a
of,
dummy down. I just want a dummy, like it's a blanket. No, that's not good. But a dummy would be
oh,
cool.
Oh, I can put down a doll
ones.
Or something. I can put down a doll and
yeah.
do it. But what I can do after I do that is if you want me to send you energy healing, Barbara,
yes.
I can do that.
Yes. And I can watch me lay down, and I can feel the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put the lighting on and
mm-hmm.
everything. Well, then let's do that
sure.
on Johnny. Do you want to do it on – I'm flying on Saturday. We don't ever do a show. Okay, Friday's always hard. Johnny, when do you want to do
yeah,
it?
Friday, we have Friday is booked.
Thursday?
We booked it with the – we can do it
okay.
tomorrow.
You're booked on Friday.
Thursday?
Do
it
tomorrow?
No. Okay, done. I do. No, never mind. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Do it tomorrow. Barbara's in.
Okay.
I can't do it tomorrow, which is Tuesday, but I could do Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and I'll just what I'll do is
no,
I will.
I have a lunch meeting Wednesday, but hey, why would I be on a 4-5 hour lunch? You know, I should be done by 4:45 when I call in.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll show you the link.
It works perfectly.
Karen. I was telling Catherine today about how much I love Blue Jeans over Zoom and why, and she understood. She said,
did she? You do?
Yes.
Huh? I've only used
Zoom.
Blue Jeans.
I've never heard of Blue Jeans. So.
Oh, I thought you said you loved Blue Jeans over Zoom. Johnny, that's isn't
no,
that
I've
what you
never heard
said?
Of it.
No, I love
but
Blue
then
Jeans
now
over Zoom.
He was explaining it. He prefers it. He was showing it to me or explaining it to me because the only one I know of is Zoom.
Yes, and that's for most people. But when I did something with a court in a different state, mm-hmm. nothing bad. It was just like I had to be on time, and I had to call. It was Las Vegas. I had to call in second, or your lawyer is like, "Where are you?" You know. Okay, 3 seconds. Mm. I was like, boom! It clicked through. And it was so successful, but they only use Blue Jeans, the whole court system in Nevada and California, where I was. Yeah, that's what they were used to. They call it Blue Jeans.
Right.
I don't know why the heck we call it Blue Jeans. It's not catchy. Nobody's ever heard of it except for the court system and, you know, me, because Johnny uses it. That's why I know about it, because of Johnny. Otherwise, nobody knows about it.
Yeah, this is the first time hearing of it. So, but it's interesting. Like, I didn't even research or know more that most of my friends and what I know, Zoom. So, interesting. Now I know about Blue.
Yes, no. We're even going to teach everybody a new thing because I'm not somebody who's saying, well, nobody's heard of it. Let's, use somebody else. Johnny has told me many technical reasons why they are actually better and rated better and everything. So, hey. Stay with them. We're already with Blue Jeans. It works great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just get the
Wonderful.
App, everybody.
Wonderful.
This is a heads up. We're going to time, date, yet to be determined. You don't want to hear all the scheduling, boring stuff. What we need to do right now is go back to talking to Catherine about, I want to know the traits, like the traits. If you I'm an empath. How do I know? Besides talking to you.
Okay, so let's go through some of the traits because this I think will be helpful to know. So as I was saying, number one, you wouldn't like loud noises, crowds of people, shopping malls. Number one, it's like nails on a chalkboard for you. You take comfort in nature. So empaths recharge and feel safe and nourished in nature. So like parks and anywhere around trees and grass, like they feel much better being outdoors like that. And empaths need time to recharge. Often from a day of work, if you're working in an office or a regular work environment, you're going to need to almost have a nap sometimes because you're drained. Your energy is drained because you're sensing like a sponge. You're picking up so much energy and emotions that you're going to be wiped out. Whereas someone else, maybe one of your coworkers, is going to feel just fine. They're not an empath. Often empaths don't feel like you fit in. As I was saying, the thing earlier about, you know, one of these things is not like the other, Sesame Street. You really feel like an alien, like you're just different from everybody else.
Yeah.
You're sensitive. You feel overwhelmed.
Easily. You spend your whole life trying to pretend that you fit in, like fooling them that you do fit in. It's every second almost. Unless they're very close friends that love you, you know, so much.
Yeah. Well, either trying to fit in or you isolate and stay away because you just you can't handle it. You don't want to be around it. And as I was saying, empaths take on the problems of others as if they were their own problem. So they feel like an empath feels like you have to solve everyone else's problem. And so it's draining because, you know, you're all of a sudden it's like you're living everybody else's life but your own. Empaths become confused as to which emotions are their own and which belong to others. There is a thing that happens where empaths actually take on other people's emotions. So this emotional switching can happen. So let's say if I'm not, you know, if I haven't learned, you know, about my gift and, you know, let's say I'm newer, I maybe don't know I'm an empath yet. I could be, you know, at a gathering and let's say I'm actually feeling quite happy, quite peaceful. And then next thing you know, I suddenly feel really angry or really sad. Generally, when there's a quick switch like that, I've basically taken on someone else's emotion. They might feel really great now because I've suddenly taken on theirs.
Is it a switcheroo like that?
Myself.
Gosh. I understand
it can happen quite.
I can sense this in you. Wow.
Yeah.
And I even know when I see people that they're doing this to people, I have witnessed people doing this to people and then taking it on so many times.
Yeah.
And I feel like Johnny probably knows. I actually have this a little bit. I'm thinking, I'm not just trying to pat myself on the back, but always feeling you're here, your problem is there, and so now it's my problem. Every single time. I cannot set the boundary. I have a hard time with the boundaries, and I have a hard time with phone calls because I know it's going to, like, suck me into something. But I believe in myself, and I'm a leader, and I've been a champion dancer and a, you know, accolades for a lot of things in life, but it seems like that doesn't have to do with the other. So this is the different layer that you're – many people, including me, that are going to say, oh, my gosh, now that I understand, now I can fix this. Wow.
Yeah, well, it's like you can't help yourself either because it's like the programming in you is like I said, it's like an alarm goes off inside of you. It's like, no, I must help this person. It becomes the number one thing. You just drop everything and you're helping them because you sense and feel so deeply, you feel their pain. You feel it. Like, it's not like anyone else. There's someone else who's not an empath who's standing there. It's like, oh, okay, so that's going on for you? Too bad. Sorry. You know, but no. An empath,
I can't
like,
even believe those people.
Oh.
I think, wow, how are they like that? I watch that, too, and I think, whoa. And, you know, I mean, geez, I wish I could be a little bit more like that sometimes, but you're in it and you feel it. But we cannot let ourselves be run over because, sure, that's wonderful, and it's needed in a friendship kind of thing I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the friend is accepting that behavior from you and support, accepting, then they kind of get stingy. They're like taking all of your time and wanting more and more and sucking it slowly and it creeps up on you and creeps up on you until the person standing there who's been giving is saying, get the hell out of here. And then, they're the crazy ones. It's just built up. Like, you drove me crazy. So I hope that you are the one, and I'm thinking you are, that if we have something like that going on in our life, we can contact you and you can maybe walk us through that.
Absolutely. I have programs that I've created called Soul Math for Empaths that, you know, going through the different aspects of because it's not a one and done. It's not like I can snap my fingers. Empaths have been living this way and living their lives in this way for many years. So there's a process of healing that. And, you know, we're working on boundaries. We're working on self-worth, self-esteem, self-love. You know, we're working on all sorts of different areas and understanding your gift and understanding the abilities and understanding energy, understanding your energy field.
Oh, yeah.
So there's so much
so
more.
Positive.
There's so much more to it.
You don't
Pardon
have
me?
To really, you, okay, when I say, it's all positive, I am just thinking, but if it's all positive, that's really fun and nice. But I'm thinking having to dive deep and finding out why and going back in life and reliving why you have been this way, living this way, you know, being draining your energy, having to take a nap every single day for 45 minutes at 4:30 like clockwork and people like notice you have to. Then, let's stop them before they go through this long journey of like draining themselves to bits because they feel like they have to do it. So is this you? And then I know it's you. One of the things that if a person comes to you and doesn't really know their problem, how do you decipher what it is? You know, what their problem is. Are they needing to go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a life coach, empath, advisor?
Well, I mean, going to a therapist or a psychiatrist, I mean, that's sort of different. Unless you have someone who specializes in working with people who are empathic, not to say that they couldn't benefit from that, but if you find someone who specifically works with empaths, or if you're an empath who is recovering from narcissistic abuse, having someone that specializes in that too, who really understands, makes the most sense. You know, I did a whole combination of different techniques in healing throughout the years. I mean, I worked with coaches, I worked with healers, I worked with spiritual teachers, I worked with shamans. Like I went to all different areas of life so that I could uncover everything that I could possibly want to learn that would help me to be living my life much more in power as an empath rather than living disempowered as an empath.
How old were you when you decided to just dive right in and make this your basically adult life's work, or was it starting at teenage years?
No, it was a little bit longer than that. I was fortunate to meet someone who was a life coach and a healer, although I didn't really have the terms for it because I had just been a few years out of high school at that point. And a friend mentioned to me that she knew this woman who did this weird energy thing. And I said, oh, really? I go, well, what is it? And she was like, I don't know, some weird energy thing she does. That's all she could say to me. And so I said, okay, well, can you give me your number? I'm going to go see her. And she's like, yeah, you go because I'm too afraid. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. And it turns out, like, what I know now is that this woman's a life coach and an energy healer. And so I went to her and was learning about energies, and I would go on and do her programs and go on her retreats where we'd swim with wild dolphins, not the dolphins at Marine Land. We'd go out, you know, out in the ocean swimming with wild dolphins, and just doing a lot of soul work. So, you know, eventually I was assisting her. Yeah, I started assisting her, but I didn't really even know then. Like, I mean, I really enjoyed it, but I was also at the time, I was an actress. So, you know, as much as I enjoyed the soul work and doing all this behind the scenes, there was many years before I finally turned that corner to really embrace, you know, the healing and the soul work that I really loved.
Yes, you were preoccupied with that career too. It's hard to do, you know, full force both acting and then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow. But that was a spiritual decision too. Isn't it great when you can be a being, a human being that can live like this, like so in tune to the whole universe, basically? Not many people can, Catherine. But that's good.
They'll say that you have to sacrifice something, you know, to go into what it is that you're meant to do, that there's going to be sacrifices. And I think those sacrifices sometimes are more in our mind, you know, that we have these set ways of being and we think we have to do a certain thing in life, or if we're going off the path, you know, that others aren't taking that one path or not as many are taking the path that we are. I think we get into a lot of our traps in our mind about it. And I think if we listen to our heart, then we know.
Yes, but for you personally, you can still enjoy acting, because who's to say that just being on the silver screen or on the tube is acting? You could do it in your living room with your child. You can act with your husband. You could still express your acting. Oh, my gosh. You could be like a different character each dinner party you throw. You know, I mean, do themes. Have, like, you know what? That is so true, isn't it? You can still do it. You still, I'm getting,
absolutely,
like, chills. And then you never know where that leads to. And, I mean, just because you're enjoying that, too. I don't want you to ever feel like you have to say that you did personally. You had to give that up. because you can still do it. And just like me dancing, just because I'm not competing doesn't mean I'm not enjoying it every single day. You don't see me in my living room alone every night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the thing, you know, when we have these gifts, these abilities, like we're constantly using them as well. It's not like it goes away.
Right.
We live it.
It's talent.
Yeah.
It's talent for you coming on the show, too. I mean, to do all of your press. There's a lot of talented people out there that are so shy about that stuff. And you have it all. So, wow. Another great find.
Oh, thank
and that's
you.
Why I'm asking in the beginning of the show, like, how do
so
you
So are we
going to
do
like,
this
Johnny
on Wednesday?
Johnny always finds the best people. What was that, Johnny?
Are we going to have her on Wednesday for the blue jeans?
Well, she has to let us know if she's available, or have you found out yet, Catherine?
Yes.
Are we down? You confirm?
Yeah, I'm totally down to do it. We'll figure out our schedules. We'll do that off the air.
Okay.
We'll figure out our schedules. And
yeah,
then absolutely,
right.
I'm in.
That's what we decided, Johnny. We were doing that off the air. And
oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. We're all in. Please, no more questions about that scheduling. I want to talk about how everybody can find you again, Catherine. Now, Johnny, I want to give him a little credit because, Johnny, you found Catherine. You work really hard, and thank you because she's amazing. And I've worked on this show for 3 years, 5 days a week. And we've met a lot of psychics and a lot of healers and a lot of teachers and a lot of every single thing out there. But you touched upon something nobody else has. So I think you're great.
Oh, thank you. Well, I really love talking to you. I love you and Johnny both. You just have such fun energy. I loved how at the beginning, too, we were saying, like, well, this could be on Family Feud. And I'm just like, we're just having this. It's like we're just having cocktails. I feel like we're out having cocktails. And we're just enjoying ourselves. Yeah.
I know.
So much fun.
Well, I got to give myself a plug on that one. Did you know what? I was on Family Feud, and I got the number one answer on YouTube.
You did? What was it? Oh, I can look it up on
YouTube. I'll tell you the question, but I'm not going to tell you the answer because then nobody will go and try to watch it.
No.
Okay. It was called Hollywood Bachelors versus we did four shows. We won every single one of them, and it wasn't for charity. We made 20 grand that day. We did all four shows in like 4 hours. And they won nothing. Oh, my God. Is that funny? Okay. So I go up.
My God.
It's
so good.
Hollywood Bachelor, like a soap opera star or something. And he buzzed the thing first. But then, you know, I did it too. But then he was able to guess. Well, he got like number three answer or something like that. So they said, well, Barbara, and if I got an answer higher rated than his, then we got the ball. So they asked him, where do you sing? Where do you sing out loud? Just as a regular person, not a singer. Okay, I don't know the exact question. Okay,
yeah.
Like, where are you like singing?
That's the question.
Like, where do you like to sing? Yeah, where do you sing, like, as just a person? I don't know what the question was. Like, where do you like to sing as just a normal
where
person,
Where is a good place
singer,
to sing
know?
Loudly?
What?
Where is a good place
like
to
shower
sing loudly?
Or whatever.
Yeah, shower in the car, you know.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember. I'll get back to you guys on that, the exact question.
Okay.
But it was something like that.
Wow.
So he said something, right? I mean, I just saw this. He said something, and then it got number three, and then they said Barbara, and I go, like, where are you singing, but you're not that good at it, or you don't care, right? I said
yes.
Church, and it was number one answer.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would have never gotten that. Oh,
really?
My God.
No. Everybody was like, oh, my God. They were so shocked. It was like, because that rarely happens, you know, where you don't hit the buzzer on time, but you still, like, get the ball. So it was just really
interesting.
I was only on that show one day, you know, four different shows we filmed.
Wow.
We change our outfits. It looks like it's a different day. It's not. It's one day, four shows. So, but we got the money for each one, and we tried hard, And I remember Lorenzo Lamas, we were hiding that we were engaged. You know, we didn't want to tell anybody yet. And he was one of the Hollywood bachelors on it, and he made nothing.
So was Evan Marriott.
It was okay.
Who was
still
millionaire?
What was that?
Evan Marriott was still millionaire.
Oh, Evan Marriott, yes, that was one of them. And the guy against me, they all were really nice gentlemen. They were so cute and sweet, and they were nice, like, long-time soap opera guys. That was basically daytime Hollywood type. Okay, and it was funny, and it was against me and a lot of my friends. And then it was cute. Like, I saw it on YouTube, so I collected it and put it on my YouTube channel. So my YouTube channel, you can find Life, Laughter, Happiness. So that's Barbara Moore 10, and then there's Life, Laughter, Happiness. But this show is going to be on Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube tonight. So you can collect from there, listen to it again, pass the link out, and oh my gosh, here's the most exciting show that we've had in a long time, right, Johnny?
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. And how much fun for you to do that show. That's incredible. How incredible is that?
That was pretty cool. And then we would go backstage and there would be like stuff from The Price is Right. And then we had, I still have the name tag, you know, those big, huge name tags on the Family Feud. They have to be big for the viewers to actually see it then. I mean, they're huge. Yeah. I still have mine and Lorenzo's. Oh, that just gave me a good idea.
What a great memory. What a great memory.
Yeah. Now the picture.
How much fun is that?
Put them up.
You said that what's the idea, Barbara?
Can we get connected on Facebook? I just want to get, I just did the shout out basically, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but now we're going to get more detailed. How can I, Life, Laughter, Happiness, follow you, which I'm sure we already are, but, and then vice versa, please, on just let's take Facebook, for example. You have the best group page. This huge group page, and I want to say this again.
The group page is Empath Soul Mastery on Facebook, and I'm Catherine Malik on Facebook. I have a personal page. I have a business page, Catherine Malik. And then there's the website. If you can't remember the name of the Facebook group, which is Empath Soul Mastery, then you go to my website, which is www.catherinemalik.com, and you would find a link there that would take you over to the Facebook group, too. So there's
awesome.
Many ways to find it.
Oh, I love you. What are you becoming me now? Oh, Catherine. I do. I feel like I've known you forever, and you're gorgeous. And that's Catherine with a K. M-A-L-E-K.
M-A-L-E-K. And Catherine is, I've got an interesting spelling, I guess. K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. And then M-A-L-E-K.
So many.
Interesting spelling. Yes.
Different spelling. Yes. But I love it. And that's one of my favorite all-time names. It was one of my top picks for my daughter because I love three-syllable names. Catherine.
Oh.
But okay. Her mother turned it into a two. So that's the difference. She turned it into a two-syllable. Did you ever think
wonderful.
Of that? Yeah, I know. Why, Mom?
Yeah.
When I can have three, why do I have two? Okay, Mommy.
Aww.
Whatever. If your name is Caitlin, good luck. There's a million different spellings of Caitlin, and all your life you're going to be asked, how do you spell it again? Not even just once. How do you spell it again? You know, it's over and over and over. Just Caitlin, I know. So I just call her Kate with a K. Kate. Which I love that name.
Oh,
too.
That's good.
Catherine, you can go by Kate as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no one's actually used that for me. I have one friend, a male actor friend, who about 4 years ago, he had this epiphany. He's like, you should now go by Kate. And I'm like, I've always used my name, so I think I'm just going to keep using my name. However,
you love
some
your name.
High school friends.
And your name is great.
I do really like my name. It's very important. I think it's important if you don't really love your name, people, you're welcome to, you know, change your name. There are many people in the world that have changed their name if they really don't feel comfortable with their name. It's important.
Yeah.
It's who you are. And
we were surprised when a family member. Sorry, Catherine, real quick. Two of my family mothers, gender male, changed their name won both first and last, won just the last name. Yes, and totally different families, okay? That's crazy, right?
Well, it probably makes them happy. They there was something about it that they wanted to change. I mean, I'm not sure what their reasons are, but I mean, I know people in business or people who are, you know, maybe coaches in the world. There's quite a few that, you know, just like actors and actresses that
they
have changed their names. They have completely,
no, no, no.
Right?
Hold on. No, Johnny, I'm clarifying. Can I clarify something? Because she misunderstood me. I didn't mean that's
right
crazy
ahead.
They wanted to change their name. I meant it's crazy that I have actually two people in my family that have done it. That's a lot of people in a family to change. I mean,
that's
you rarely have
though.
A person who wants to change their name in a family. That's rare. But to want to change
that
their,
is...
No, that's not rare, right? I just wanted to let you know that's not crazy.
No,
I mean,
that you meant
crazy.
That it's like you had two people. Yeah, two people in your family. That's kind of more wild.
That
it's like, what's the odds of having two people in your family, like in your direct sort of vicinity, that have changed their names? Yeah.
And one close friend with my mom. My mom's a very close friend in high school, from elementary school, changed it. And we all have to call all these people I'm talking about. We have to call them that as well. Like, they expect you to just change it. Boom. Like, okay, that is, like, your name, my whole upbringing. And now I have to call you this? That's weird.
I had to have I
think challenging.
My father changed my last name.
What was it? Oh.
Well, what happened was that it used to be Gutierrez. And if you can't spell Gutierrez, that's why we changed it. So what happened was that my father, and he did a very smart thing. He wanted, usually when you're in a rush to get a doctor's number, the first thing you do is you pick up a phone book, right? And you open it up.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it to be right at the A. You see? And it makes sense because when you really think about it, if you're a dentist, my father's a psychiatrist, but if I was a dentist and somebody was looking for a dentist and they had a toothache, it would make more sense. You know, they're going to go the first one they see. You know,
I actually and I go over the first one I see because I know what they're up to.
But his name is he chose Alexander to be near the A.
Yeah, well, A and X. That's pretty smart of your grandpa. You got a lot of X's too. That is actually smart. That's probably what it was, a very popular name. But I like your Gutierrez.
Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't just change it? Because, I mean, you're changing basically your whole, like, ethnicity at the same time.
Well, it was hard because, see, Dad kept having to spell it on over the phone every single time he was on the phone. And it just seems to me that if people are going to get it wrong, then they're going to have a hard time getting in hold of him. I mean, he's a doctor, you know, when you really think about it. You know, what I was going to say is that I was going to ask you, Catherine, when's your birthday?
June 9th.
Wow!
Ruskin,
I hope that wasn't
because...
too loud. That's somebody I know, very special to me's birthday, and you know them too, Johnny boy.
Who?
No, go ahead, what you were saying.
Okay.
Go.
Well, anyway. But what I'm saying is we have someone who's been on the show. Her name is Marlene Scanlon. Maybe that's who Barbara's thinking of.
No.
And
My family member I'm thinking of.
Oh,
for the June 9th birthday that she shared, it's my family member. Very close one. Yes.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but Marlene Scanlon is somebody that kind of reminds me of you a little bit, Catherine. I mean, somebody, you know, her birthday is the 28th of May. She shares it with mine. And it would be neat if the two of you were to meet sometime or something. I mean,
because
it's very similar.
Later, Johnny, please.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm getting a little antsy. I work till like 6 o'clock, and it's 6:09, and I want to go enjoy my sunset on Huntington Beach right now.
I understand.
Oh, okay. That sounds lovely.
I know
you
how
go
long
enjoy your sunset.
Story's
okay.
Be. So So
all
I
right.
Thought
you enjoy the
shout out, which was like to follow. Look, I already even put all my notes away because I was out the door. Okay. I already memorized this. It's not that hard.
Okay.
Catherine Malik, everybody. Okay.
All right.
Hey.
Hey. Well,
Facebook.
You
the
did the shout out.
I actually am trying, Johnny. You keep talking. Why don't you talk to Catherine about your exciting little story later?
Okay.
I don't mean to talk down to you at all.
It's okay.
I'm trying not to cough right now. This was a wonderful show. And we're going to stop on a wonderful dime. And everybody, see you later. Have a great night. I did the shout out 5 times. Bye, Donnie.
All right.
We
wonderful.
Love you.
Good night,
bye.
Everyone.
Thank you
good
for
night,
having
Catherine.
Me.
Good night, Barbara.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.